Can you give us an idea about the market share of the CDMA side as well as the WiMAX or the broadband side? Because you've shown excellent growth, but we would like to know how that growth compares to how the industry has grown, how those two segments have grown.
I'll let Mohan elaborate, but from industry data that we have, again, market share data is not specifically available, but we have been among, in the CDMA case, either number one or number two in terms of incremental additions over the last half year. Our market share, of course, is still very small with 100,000 base. I think the market size is around 2.8 million. So it's approximately 3 to 3.5% at the moment. Broadband relative to ADSL, the ADSL numbers have been reported by Sri Lanka Telecom. And we have a total broadband base of close to
About 2,400
customers.
I think Hans has answered most of your question. On CDMA, we are the fourth operator. We have around 135,000 subscribers at the moment. Market share in terms of subscribers would be around 5 to 6% if you take the total CDMA population, which is now close to 2 million, approximating 2 million. But the track record from probably February, March until now, and from the records we have been probably the fastest growing CDMA network in the country. Again, the comparison on the broadband side, we are comparing two different things, ADSL versus radio WiMAX technology. We have around 2,400 subscribers now. The network has stabilized very well. Almost 100% of our users accept and enjoy the benefits that the product gives. We don't have actual stats on revenue share, but ADSL, I believe, or if you take SLT's figures, must be around 80,000 to 100,000, as opposed to the 2,400 that we have. But it's a young network growing by the day. And we believe the service we offer is at a premium above what SLT has.
Is it possible to give some indication, more detail about the performance improvement programs that you all have outlined, the cost measures that you're going to take? That's the first question. The second question is, have you all seen any improvement in usage levels in the Eastern Province? 1 year ago, that was a big concern, and usage levels had dropped. Has there been a rebound this year?
On the cost reduction initiatives, we have adopted a variety of initiatives, some which would deliver in the medium term, others in the longer term. Real estate is one, which we took some very quick decisions. At the beginning of this year, we were investigating a strategy of moving out of rented premises into a owned premise. However, we reviewed that decision in the light of current developments, and we will not be proceeding with that option. At the same time, we are looking at reducing our rented properties by approximately 20% in the very short term, subject to, of course, the lease agreements and not suffering penalties unnecessarily. So there would be a shrinking of our presence in terms of real estate. And likewise, we shelved both the Dialogue City building project, or parked it, and also the project that we had under investigation for the procurement of a building. So those are immediate decisions. In terms of energy, we have seen quick results. Standard energy consumption efficiency based mini projects across the company where we have seen results. We did not want to report it because it's the first couple of months, but I think when the results are more sustainable, we will report that as well. Similarly on transportation and energy overall. With respect to the network, I think that is something which we are looking at very carefully at this point in time. The network costs, as you saw, account for a very large portion of total costs. Network costs include energy, power, as well as diesel. So getting onto the main grid as fast as possible in most sites is going to bring down per site cost by about a third. Diesel costs much more than the power grid, but likewise it's tough to get on the grid. So there's an accelerated program to do that. Likewise, maintenance agreements that we have with software as well as hardware vendors are being reviewed through our supply chain, and also the relationship, or rather the supply chain of Telecom Malaysia, which already has brought some savings, but we are looking aggressively at doing this. So we are, it's a mix. We are attacking some of the smaller lines. I mean, end of the day, if you look at office rent, it doesn't even appear on the total cost chart, but it brings about a culture of saving and a culture of containment. The big ticket items are on the network and on depreciation, which again is being reviewed very carefully. So are inventory levels and so on. With respect to the east, maybe Supun can answer on how the traffic has moved.
Traffic is growing, and then one key problem that we had was the distribution. We currently use our own distribution team, and then the volumes have grown significantly over the last 6 months, from about 5 to 6 times, without disclosing the numbers. But again, there are intermittent closures in the network, especially during the operation, current ongoing operation, where we have to shut down part of the northern network beyond Anuradhapura from the west coast to the east coast. So there are intermittent closures, and the network is operational, there's data potential. And then again, some areas get affected by security regulations, such as the current subscriber registration process, again hampers customer behavior and usage of the network. But in terms of rollout also, there's a lot of positive growth. We are constructing towers in that eastern region, whereas northern site construction is fairly at a slow pace. East is positive, but still north is yet to come in terms of growth.
The frequency charges in increased by 300%? Was it because you're using more frequencies, or have the frequency fees gone up?
The fees have gone up.
By 300%?
Yes. Our frequency charge was approximately 220 million last year with the same spectrum. And now it's close to 800 million for the NM. So on a quarterly basis, it's about 150 million per quarter, which is hitting the PNL.
Have you quantified the impact, I don't know, in terms of penetration growth, in terms of your financials, of the increased government taxation? You had the 10%, now you have the 2%, then you've got frequency fees, you've got regulations, everyone has got to go and have you quantified what sort of impact that is going to have on the market? That's the first question. Second is your CapEx plans. There was a thing on the slide that said that you're focusing on the most urgent CapEx. What's your CapEx plans going forward projected for the next 2 years or 3 years?
The toll that indirect taxation has on many aspects of the business, we haven't really quantified it in that sense, but I think obviously the numbers themselves speak for themselves. It's now 30.35% on top of the mobile bill. Under conditions where we have seen elasticity levels drop to something like 0.35 from where they were at 1.1 or so last year. 0.35 being about the lowest, but nothing more than 0.5 or 0.6 at any one time. So you can imagine the impact 30% has on the overall returns to the operator. If you take all the other, you know, for example, registration, as well as from time to time having to introduce, even introducing a new tax, it's 2%, it's a lot of work. There's communication costs, there's billing systems have to be changed, especially the prepaid systems have to come online and so on. So there is a toll both on the usage and the MOUs, as well as on the efforts of the company. The tower tax, of course, we have over 1,000 towers, so you can do the numbers. Then it will bring in another.
It's retrospective.
It's from August. Yeah, existing towers.
Existing towers.
Yes, yes, and it's per annum. So that will be another approximately maybe 50 million rupees or so for the annum, but it's small compared to the rest. On CapEx, like we said, we are rationalizing and reprioritizing the CapEx plans. One major project that we had in line was the fiber optic network, and we did spend quite a review cycle on this, whether the fiber optic network should go ahead. But after much deliberation, we felt that for the long term, development of the company, the services, and given the competitive environment in bottleneck infrastructures, that we should proceed. The temptation is there at this point in time to cut it, but we felt, and the board took a decision to support the continued investment into fiber optics. This would, we believe, pay off because our original strategy of going on the basis that wholesale bandwidth would have a demand at some point in time. I mean, up to a point, the other operators in the industry would also use microwaves, but beyond a point with 3G and the various other broadband technologies being used increasingly, that backhaul would become an issue, and then we would have a market from the wholesale point of view. But even for the business of the group and the traffic of the group alone, we carry approximately, like, you know, 68 to 72% of all mobile traffic. So that there itself, there's a requirement for fiber optics. Of course, we'll look at various forms of sharing and optimize construction techniques to minimize the capex and also to spread it in time as much as possible. Other capex, the mobile network has almost immediate returns, so we are not slowing down on the mobile network. A major part of the capex, approximately 58%, is on the shared infrastructure like the towers and the fiber.